Pope Francis voices pain over the discovery of the remains of 215 children at his school in Canada. He urges officials there to work to shed light on the finding. Israeli forces arrest two prominent Palestinian activists campaigning against the regime's eviction order in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood of Jerusalem Al-Quds. At least 11 civilians, including four women and three children, are killed in a bomb explosion in northwestern Afghanistan. Good to have you with us. Pope Francis has described as shocking last month's discovery of a mass grave at a former church-run residential school for indigenous children in Canada.
I follow with pain the news coming from Canada about the shocking discovery of the remains of 215 children, pupils of the Kamloops Indian Residential School in the province of British Columbia. I join the Canadian bishops and the entire Catholic Church in Canada in expressing my closeness to the Canadian people traumatized by the shocking news. The sad discovery further raises awareness of the pains and sufferings of the past.
The Pope, however, stopped short of offering a direct apology. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said earlier that the Catholic Church must take responsibility for its role in running Indigenous residential schools. UN human rights experts also urged Canada and the Vatican to conduct a full-fledged investigation into the discovery. Canada forcibly sent more than 150,000 Indigenous kids to residential schools between 1831 and 1996. The schools were run by churches and aimed to forcibly assimilate Indigenous children into white Canadian society. A 2015 investigation documented cases of abuse, malnutrition, and rape at those schools. U.S. President Joe Biden has accused Russia of posing challenges to Europe's security, saying that Washington will extend with its European allies against Moscow. Biden also underlined that the U.S. won't hesitate to respond to what it called Moscow's future harmful activities. The U.S. President made those comments, says he's set to meet with his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin, later this month. Biden has ramped up pressure on Russia since taking office in January, a march that likened Putin to a killer, which drew fierce criticism from Russia. The two countries have been at odds over a range of issues. They include the Ukraine crisis and claims of the Kremlin's interference in the U.S. presidential election. Author and researcher Greg Simons believes that allegations leveled against Russia by the U.S. are just a political game.
Well, I mean, this is just an example of business as usual, if we want to speak. So the continuation of this Russiagate, and I mean, if you break it down, it's basically what you have this phrase or the slogan, to accuse your opponent that of which you are guilty. And it's a political game because the US, as a global hegemony, is on the wane. And they're trying to keep their hegemony by what I would call obstructive foreign policy. Then they can try to justify what would be otherwise unjustifiable. If things were harmonious relations, then you have no need to have this extraordinary circumstance, and when you have an extraordinary circumstance, you can circumvent the conventional and agreed upon rules of international relations, which he's trying to do, to limit Russia's strengths and opportunities by increasing its weaknesses and threats, and thereby keep the US contextually in a stronger position.
Israeli police have arrested two Palestinian activists campaigning against forced eviction plans in occupied East Jerusalem Al-Quds. The police initially arrested Mona Al-Kurd at her home in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood, taking her to a police station for interrogation. She was released after a number of hours. However, her twin brother, Mohammed Al-Kurd, is still in police custody. The two activists are at the center of a movement to publicize Israel's eviction of several Palestinian families from their homes in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. Palestinians facing eviction in the nearby Silwan district as well. An Israeli rights group says the move will affect nearly 1,000 Palestinians in both areas. The planned eviction in Sheikh Jarrah has ignited tensions with Palestinians over the past several weeks. Mona Kendall says that the Israeli arrest of the two activists aims to terrorize Palestinians that are continuing to oppose the planned eviction in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood.
Up to the moment, it's not clear what are the charges against Muhammad al-Kurd and her twin and his twin brother Muna al-Kurd, but it's very clear, according to experts, that they want to terrorize their parents. They know that Muhammad and Muna, as well as other Palestinian youths from the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood, have been working to defend the Palestinians and to stop the forced expulsions from Sheikh Jarrah.
A senior leader of the Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas, says that the group only displayed half of its power during the recent fighting with the Tel Aviv regime.
We showed only half our strength. We managed to launch 130 rockets on Tel Aviv in one barrage, and we only launched our old rockets in the last campaign.
Yahya Sinwar reiterated the Palestinian resistance emerged victorious in last month's fighting. He warned that any future war with Israel could reshape the region. Palestinian resistance groups dealt severe blows to Israel during the regime's 11-day aggression by firing 4,300 rockets. Israeli media says the massive rocket fire pushed Tel Aviv to beg Washington to mediate a ceasefire. Meantime, the Gaza Health Ministry says that 253 Palestinians have lost their lives in the Israeli offensive, including 66 children, and some 2,000 others got wounded. Nearly a dozen civilians, including four women and three children, have been killed in a landmine explosion in northwestern Afghanistan. It happened early in the morning in a village of Abkhamari district in Bakhtis province. Local officials say that a blast ripped through a vehicle carrying passengers to the city of Galano. The district governor has blamed the Taliban for the bombing. The militant group has not commented on the incident. The attack occurred hours before a meeting between a Taliban delegation and UN officials in Qatar as part of peace process. Afghanistan has seen a rise in deadly violence recently. According to the UN, nearly 1,800 civilians were killed or injured during fighting between government forces and the Taliban in the first 3 months of the year. Meantime, an Omani delegation has visited the Yemeni capital for talks with leaders of the Ansarullah movement on advancing peace talks and tackling the humanitarian crisis in the war-torn country. Our correspondent, Sana, has the story.
After the failure of Moscow talks, an Omani delegation along with the Yemeni negotiating delegation has arrived at Sana'a Airport as part of efforts to find a peaceful solution to the years-long war on Yemen. Mohammed Abdussalam, who headed the Yemeni delegation at the talks, said the meeting was aimed at pushing up the humanitarian situation that has been deteriorating due to the all-out blockade imposed by Saudi Arabia.
The talks are held to discuss the overall situation in Yemen, including the peace talks and the humanitarian crisis in Yemen. Oman has always served as an arena for all Yemenis in political affairs, and today we are going to complete the efforts we made in Oman during the past months.
Observers say this move could make a difference in the political process, as Oman has always been beside Yemenis and realizes the circumstances of Yemen.
The Omani delegation is welcomed in our country because Oman has always been a good neighbor. We hope Oman could help us remove the current humanitarian crisis. We must have this point in mind that if the U.S. continues to link the humanitarian crisis in Yemen to the military realities on the ground, no progress would be made. Therefore, the humanitarian crisis in Yemen should be top on agenda.
The latest round of negotiations in Oman's capital, Muscat, failed to find a solution to the world's worst humanitarian crisis in Yemen. According to the UN Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, the Saudi-led coalition war on Yemen has killed almost a quarter of a million Yemenis, caused outbreaks of disease, turned Yemen into the world's worst humanitarian crisis, and brought the poor Arab country to the verge of famine.
Yemenis are optimistic about the Omani delegation visit to their country, saying Oman is capable of achieving what the UN envoy has failed during the past years and putting an end to the suffering of the war-ravaged nation. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
The United States has blamed Yemen's Ansar movement for the ongoing problems in the Arab country. Those problems include famine, as well as large civilian casualties and shortages of medicines, all resulted by the years-long Saudi war and blockade of Yemen. Saudi Arabia began the war 6 years ago. Since then, it has received logistics support and weapons from a number of countries, including the United States.
Yemen, the world's worst humanitarian crisis, according to the United Nations. The UN says 24 million Yemenis are in dire need of humanitarian aid, including 10 million suffering from famine. Yemen has struggled with mass outbreaks of infectious diseases, and poverty has surged to affect as much as 78% of the population since 2015, when Saudi Arabia and its regional states launched a devastating war on Yemen. The U.S. and several other Western countries have participated in the war by providing arms and logistic support for the Saudi coalition. The United Nations says the Saudi-led war on Yemen has caused an estimated 233,000 deaths, including 131,000 from an indirect cause such as lack of food, health services, and infrastructure. Meanwhile, the World Food Program has estimated that around 400,000 Yemeni children under 5 are likely to die of starvation in 2021. That is nearly one child every 80 seconds. While the results of the US-sponsored Saudi aggression on Yemen speak for themselves, Washington is trying to push a narrative that the Ansarullah movement is mostly to blame for the ongoing problems in Yemen, not Saudi Arabia. After returning from a trip to some Arab states of the Persian Gulf, including Saudi Arabia, the US Special Envoy for Yemen, Tim Lenderking, accused Ansarullah of refusing a proposed ceasefire. However, the movement has consistently participated in peace talks with the Saudis and allies of former Saudi-backed government. The main reason for the failure of previous peace talks was that the Saudis refused any deal involving power sharing or a fresh election. That's why the Saudi-enforced war on Yemen was aimed at bringing the Saudi-backed former regime to power and crush the popular Ansarullah movement. Despite years of ongoing aggression against Yemenis and spending billions of dollars, Saudi Arabia and its supporter, the U.S., have been unable to defeat the popular Ansarullah movement, and the recent willingness to negotiate a truce proves their weakened position.
The U.S. Narrative should be ignored because it has nothing to do with reality or truth. The people of Yemen continue to suffer because of U.S. actions, because of U.S. sending weapons to Saudi Arabia. Ansarullah movement has nothing to do with, they're defending the people of Yemen, certainly, but they are not the reason for the war. It is Saudi aggression financed by the United States that is the reason for the war.
Iraq is calling for the withdrawal of Turkish forces from its soil. Iraq's presidential office said the Turkish presence in the country violates good neighborliness and is against international conventions. It has stressed the need for respecting Iraqi sovereignty. Well, the statement was released today after militants from Turkish Kurdistan Workers' Party attacked Kurdish Peshmerga forces in the Iraqi Duhok province. 5 Peshmerga members were killed. The Iraqi presidential office has condemned the attack. It says the presence of PKK militants in Iraq is illegal. Turkey has set up a number of bases on Iraqi soil, saying it uses them to confront the PKK militants. Ankara considers PKK as a terrorist group. The COVID-19 pandemic has heaped the miseries of Rohingya refugees in Indian subcontinent. As one of Usman reports from New Delhi, thousands are left to fend for themselves, with no access to medicine or vaccine, since the Indian government calls them illegal immigrants, leaving no space for them to acquire vaccines. Here's more.
As India continues to battle the deadly COVID-19 pandemic, the destitute Rohingya community fights it all alone. The community is not eligible to apply for vaccine, since they are described as illegal immigrants. Rights activists say they are in desperate need of help as the virus has started raging across the camps.
First they started the deportation drive, then detention, and now the lockdowns. Why are all miseries for us? Why is the world silent? Don't we have the right to live? We have no work due to lockdowns, and now this virus is frightening us, since we can't get access to any healthcare services here.
The COVID-19 pandemic has brought more miseries to the community, since most of them used to work in the unorganized sector. Now, due to lockdowns, most of them have lost their jobs, forcing them to live on charity, while hunger and poverty looms over the community. The refugee camps are cramped, and the spread of virus is inevitable, they say, since their makeshift shanties lean on each other with no sanitation, food support, or health care, since they are not included in the government's support programs. Most of them work as daily wage workers or scrap collectors to make a living, but the government restrictions and lockdown has left many out of work.
Some locals and NGOs are helping us with food and other essentials in these dire times. We, however, urge the UN Refugee Agency to play their part. We don't need just guidelines. We need access to vaccination.
Minority Rohingya Muslims have for decades fled to neighboring Bangladesh and other countries, including India, escaping genocide in their country. Estimates suggest some 40,000 Rohingya refugees are living across different Indian states.
In recent weeks, many of these refugees, including children, had developed COVID-like symptoms. But due to lack of testing facilities and shortage of vaccine, they're on their own. Most of them have resorted to home remedies and self-quarantine. Many, however, fear if they don't get access to medicine and vaccine, a humanitarian disaster awaits their community. Munawar Zaman, New Delhi.
That's it for this news broadcast.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding IRIB English Radio.
Listeners special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, June 6, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. If you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and then get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special, the Sunday program, is your program. It's your views that are important. And here, I do express my condolences to you on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ja'far Sadiq, the sixth infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad. Blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Please stay with us until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers at IRIB English Radio. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. And these days, as I have mentioned several times, my colleagues have prepared eQSL cards for our dear listeners around the world. And here, I appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Muhammad Shahid from India, Konstantin Provotor from Ukraine, one of our regular listeners, and Don Glocka from the U.S., also one of our regular listeners. So, Mohammed, Konstantin, and Don, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio, and many thanks for sending us reception reports. And here I also express my appreciation to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, including Paul R. Newton from the UK. Here we have a letter. Yes, it's a letter from Mike Yoniki. Mike Yoniki is from Canada. Here we have another email from Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh. Sultan Mahmoud is one of our regular listeners. And from India, we have an email from Ratan Kumar Paul, also one of our regular listeners. And the last but not the least is a letter. This letter is from Brian Penny from the U.S., from Massachusetts. Dear listeners, many thanks for being with us after the music and after the break. I will be back with all these kind messages as I said, after the music. So please stay with us. I will be here after seconds. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Bangladesh. This email is from Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar. Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar is one of our regular listeners who says, "Hello, dear IRIB English Radio staff. At first, take my salam from Bangladesh. It is not surprising that the Zionist regime of Israel has persecuted the Palestinians. We only get accurate and sincere news of the Israeli regime atrocities against Palestinians through IRIB English Radio. Many thanks to IRIB English Radio for this. I wish you all good health and happiness, all the best. And salam and warmest greetings to you, Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh. And many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Actually, it is not, as you said, it is not surprising that the fake regime of Israel has again recently launched another assault on Palestinians and has imposed forced evictions from their homes, from Palestinian homes. We cover the latest developments from around the world, including Palestine and the atrocities of the fake regime of Israel. And my colleagues around the clock work to cover the news to cover the latest news from around the world. And actually, the news programs are prepared impartially and accurately. Many thanks for writing this email to us, Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh. We are so happy that you enjoyed the news program of Arab English Radio. Now write to us soon and tell us your views about other programs of IRB English Radio. And from India, we have an email from Ratan Kumar Paul. Ratan Kumar Paul is one of our regular listeners who says, "Greetings. I am Ratan Kumar Paul, a regular listener of your station. I do enjoy listening to your programs a lot, and I try to send you audio clips of your broadcast from time to time. Please verify my reception report with your QSL card and send some souvenirs for me if possible. Thanks." And salam and warmest greetings to you, Ratan Kumar Paul from India. Yes, you are one of our regular listeners, and we receive the audio clips of our broadcasts as you send them time to time, as you said. My colleagues will send you as soon as possible the EQSL cards that they have recently prepared, and we'll send you the souvenirs and promotional items of IRB English Radio as soon as possible. Anyway, many thanks for writing to our station, IRB English Radio. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRB English Radio programs. Again, many thanks, Ratan Kumar Paul from India, for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we have received a letter. Yes, it's a letter from Canada, Ontario, Canada, from Mike Yuhinki. Mike says, "Dear sir or madam, I'm writing to let you know I heard your station on shortwave today. Though I tried to email this report, the email kept being returned, so here it is, all but a short version, just to let you know that your signal was heard here in Ontario, Canada." So I will end this, and again, great to pick up your signal on shortwave. I have been a broadcaster myself for some 20 years, and you do put together a very nice program. Thank you. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you from Iran, Mike Yuhinki from Canada, Ontario, Canada. And lots of thanks to you for writing this letter to IRB English Radio. So our signals were received in your region, in Ontario, Canada, and that's great. And as you said, you're a kind of colleague to us, yes. You said you're a broadcaster, and this is great that you enjoy our programs. As you described it, very nice program. Many thanks for writing this letter to us, and good luck in your job. And Mike Yuhinki from Canada, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. It's an honor to have a broadcaster as a listener to IRB English Radio. So we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Mike from Ontario, Canada. And here we have another email. This email is from the U.S., is from Massachusetts, from Brian Penny. Brian Penny from the U.S. says, "Dear Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio, I received your broadcast to Europe and North America in English this afternoon. Reception conditions were nominal with minimal noise and fading. The modulation level of your broadcast was a bit low, but I was able to copy the majority of your transmission. If you find my reception report To be accurate, I would appreciate receiving a QSL from your station. An electronic QSL would be sufficient during this unprecedented pandemic. Brian Penny from Massachusetts, the U.S. And salam and warmest greetings to you, Brian Penny from Massachusetts. And many thanks for writing this letter to IRIB English Radio. So you received the signals of IRIB English Radio in your region, Cape Cod, as is mentioned in your letter. You mentioned that the reception conditions were nominal with minimal noise and fading. We refer to our engineers about this trouble and the level of modulation as you described it. As you said, it was a bit low. Yes, we refer to our engineers and technicians about these problems and troubles because our effort in IRIB English Radio has been and will be providing the best quality of the programs in IRIB English Radio. As you mentioned and as you've requested, my colleagues will send you an electronic QSL card, and that is because we are passing the days after days in this unprecedented pandemic, coronavirus pandemic. Yes, my colleagues will, as soon as possible, send you electronic QSL card. Many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Brian Penny from Massachusetts, Cape Cod. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back from the UK. We have an email from Paul R. Newton. Paul from the UK says, "Dear sir or madam, I heard your broadcast at 1945 UTC last night. I'm looking this morning in my WRTH 2021, the World Radio TV Handbook. I wasn't sure if it was Iran. I was using a frequency of about 6035 kilohertz. It kept changing slightly by about 5 kilohertz due to interference. Sound kept coming and going. I haven't heard shortwave radio for a while. I have already written to and heard in the last couple of days Romania, Turkey, Italy, and China. Thank you so much for your broadcast. First of all, salam and greetings to you, Paul R. from Newton, from the UK, and many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. So you had trouble, as you said, you kept changing slightly some kilohertz due to interference. So in order to have the correct information about our frequencies and also program schedule, please, Paul R. Newton from the UK, please refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find the accurate and the correct information about IRIB English Radio frequencies and program schedule. Again, www.parstoday.com/en. So, Paul R. Newton from the UK, please, as you found the frequencies, please very soon let us know if you found the correct frequency address. Yes, please let us know about it. Anyway, many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Listen to IRIB English Radio programs and tell us your views about our programs, because your views are very important to us. Many thanks for writing to us. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Paul R. Newton from the UK. Dear listeners, before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, the Sunday program, again, I do express my condolences to you on the martyrdom anniversary of the sixth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, Imam Jafar Sadiq, peace upon him. Many thanks for being with us and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pastoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pastodayenglish. Thank you all.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
We express our condolences to our Imam on this occasion of the martyrdom of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salamullahi alayhi. This great Imam that we need to remember more than just a day or two during the year. And I hope that we have weeks or months, perhaps even, of commemoration, not necessarily in the form of Aza in the morning that we do, but dedicate an entire month to each of the Imams, to study them and to learn of them more, and hopefully helping us with getting a more complete picture of the Imams' lives and what they did. Imam al-Sadiq's period of Imamah, salamullahi alayhi, is a very crucial time, a very important time. A lot of many different events took place during this time. And covering all of that is something that's simply not possible in one session. Let me just say that if anyone were to focus on the life of an imam other than the ones that we commonly spend more time on, usually people hear more about Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Holy Prophet, a little bit about Fatima al-Zahra, more about Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi, and that's pretty much it. We don't hear too much about any of the imams. But if one were to spend a little more time, dedicate time to studying a bit more the life of an imam, I would strongly recommend the first choice to go to the period of Imam al-Sadiq. It at least, what it does is that it raises many questions, and then it creates with those questions both motivation and direction in terms of studying the imams prior to him, after Imam al-Husayn, and also the imams after Imam al-Sadiq and what happened and transpired there during their times. There's a lot that we owe to this imam very openly. What we owe Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi is more apparent to us than, say, what we owe Imam al-Kadhim or Imam al-Hadi or Imam al-Askari salamullah alayhim, because much of the basic practical laws, the teachings regarding our theology, our belief about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to the Ahlul Bayt, and so on and so forth, much of it is Qala al-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi. Although it is known that Imam al-Baqir engaged in that journey or in that field more or earlier, but in terms of the quantity of what we have, there's definitely more from Imam al-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi for various reasons. And so we owe that imam much. I think what I can try to do in the brief time that we have to help us have a better understanding of that imam, and also with that better understanding of that imam help us with the understanding of our responsibilities today, is to correct a misunderstanding related to Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi. And I'm going to try to be brief, and I hope I don't go too much over time. The understanding that exists at best by those who study the lives of the Ahlul Bayt in terms of what was happening is that Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi took advantage of the time that he was in, the conditions and circumstances he was in, for the benefit of Islam. In other words, what people commonly understand is that Imam al-Sadiq taught, he had classes, he had students. This is a period, again, with our inaccurate, inadequate understanding of that time, we think that these uprisings was just happening. We don't see as the Imam having caused this condition, the Imams having caused this condition. We don't see it as such. We see it as it just happened. That was happening there. People were unhappy with the Umayyads, and it so happened Abu Muslim al-Khurasani is general. He had the ability to unite people and create an army and start fighting the Umayyads, get rid of them.
They don't explain why the people were saying they want Ali Muhammad to rule. Where did that come from? Did Abu Muslim al-Khurasani work on people that when he started that slogan, everybody gathered around him and united with this one slogan of wanting the governments of the Ahlul Bayt? And then he had to go and beg and see which of the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet that he identified as the Ahlul Bayt, the relatives of the Prophet, which one he's going to put as the face of this government, because he's not the Ahlul Bayt. Anyhow, there's a hadith. We know this different people, these different uprisings, people came to Imam As-Sadiq, why don't you rise? And different responses coming from the Imams. There's this one hadith in that context, a lot happens. One hadith is one man comes and asks the Imam, when is the arrival of the Qa'im? That term to us is a term that has a very specific meaning. It means the 12th Imam, the one who rises, the upriser. It refers to the 12th Imam. This man thinks that way. He's been taught that there is an Imam that'll be the upriser, whether it's the 12th Imam or whatever number of Imam, which number Imam it is, doesn't appear that the person knows. If he did, then he wouldn't be asking that question. There's a pretty long time before that Imam is even born. There's a concept that there will be a Qa'im from the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. Seeing the conditions, the revolts, the rebellions against the Umayyads, this tyranny is coming down. Is the Qa'im of the Ahlul Bayt going to rise and take his position as the Imam of the Muslimin or not? Says, when is this going to happen? He's referring to an Imam to come, another Imam. In other words, what he sees is that Imam As-Sadiq Salamullah Alayh is not the upriser. Imam As-Sadiq is not someone who is rising. Imam As-Sadiq is not someone who has risen. He doesn't see that. The response of the Imam should help us understand not just that Imam, but all of our Imams. Imam As-Sadiq Salamullah Alayh responds and he says, كُلُّنَا قَائِمْ. All of us are قَائِمْ. All of us are uprising. All of the Imams rose against the tyrannies. They all rose. Not a single Imam sat. Imam al-Mujtaba salamullahi alayhi, that is seen as someone who sat, that was a tactical thing in that particular moment. It was actually a tactic for the rise. It was part of the rise against Muawiyah and against the Umayyad dynasty. There's never an Imam that sits that has nothing to do with what's going on. We don't have Imams that are even reactionary to the conditions that they are in. We don't even have Imams like that. A Qa'im is someone who is rising for establishing the government of the Ahlul Bayt, the government of Allah, the rule of God on the face of the earth. Not that, okay, now a condition of dhulm has occurred. As long as the rule of Allah is not implemented throughout the globe, there is a need for rise. It doesn't matter whether it's this president or that president, this country who now has an empire or the other, whether it's the French or the Dutch or the British or the American or the Zionists or whatever other dynasty or empire, whatever it is that's in charge, as long as it's not the rule of Allah, there's got to be a rise. And all the Imams rose. All the Imams were active in that regard. We don't have an Imam that watches things idly or watches things and does things in a reactionary way to think that the Imam decided, okay, now's the time for us to teach these things. Let's take advantage of the time. And he's involved in creating those conditions. And he's got a plan for every situation that arises. This is the most important point, I think, that we need to make in regards to Imam al-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi. And it helps us in understanding not only that Imam, but every single one of our Imams.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Alim Halim Hakim Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of a speech delivered on June 4, 2014, by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, on the occasion of the demise anniversary of Imam Khomeini. The speech was delivered at Imam Khomeini's shrine.
As for the first part, the reality that I referred to is that 25 years have passed from the demise of our great Imam, Rahmatullah Alayh. But people's enthusiasm and excitement to hear and know about him has not diminished. And this is not particular to our country. Rather, this reality exists in the world of Islam and even beyond that. Not only in our country, where the third generation of revolution is growing and blossoming, but also in the entire world of Islam, the youth of the age of communications and internet are after gaining more information about the issues of the revolution, about the Islamic Republic, and about the architect of this great structure. And these youths can easily familiarize themselves with these issues which occur far away from their own environment. The phenomenon of religious democracy and the theory of Wilayat-e-Faqih are issues which are significant and attractive for the intellectual environments of the world of Islam. Subhanallah, hamdan lillah, wa la ilaha illallah. Subhanallah, hamdan lillah, wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. From the first days, our enemies began making a comprehensive effort, and the more we moved forward, the more comprehensive this effort became. They used hundreds and thousands of televisions, radio stations, and internet sites to abuse the Islamic Republic, its great founder, and its supporters. Of course, this issue has been helpful to us because it has aroused the curiosity of listeners and viewers throughout the world. These listeners and viewers want to know the reason behind all these enmities, hostilities, and mudslinging. They want to know the nature of the truth, which has been the target of these enmities. So our enemies mentioned our names, and they spoke about Imam Rahmatullah Alayh and our system with the purpose of showing their enmity. But surely they will scheme, and I too will scheme. The Holy Quran, chapter 86, verse 15 and 16. This is what Allah the Exalted says. They started this widespread movement with such an intention, but it eventually created an opportunity for us because the sense of curiosity of the listeners to these stations was aroused throughout the world. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.